What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to This Moment. This is your transatlantic bridge connecting Stockholm, Sweden to Harlem, New York City. And as you know, my name is Jason Diakite, one half of This Moment, with my co-host being my dear friend and brother, Chef Marcus Samuelson, located in New York City. This week, we'll be airing an interview Marcus did with former pro basketball player and four-time NBA champion, John Sally. John played with and against some of the greatest athletes of all time, including Isaiah Thomas, Dennis Rodman, Magic Johnson, and of course, Michael Jordan, during the golden era of basketball. He's also one of the earliest guys to become health conscious in the NBA and adopt a vegan lifestyle. And that's something we're seeing more and more of today, even in sports. We'll hear stories about Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, and what it's like living a vegan life in the NBA. So tune in and come with us.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So I want to go back. I mean, John, you're from Brooklyn. And yes. One of the things that I always admired by you is that you have grit, right? You have grit. I mean, playing with Detroit and playing against Boston and all of that, the world knows about that. Different era in NBA. But you always does everything with both that Brooklyn grit. So where does that come from?
I went to Brooklyn about less than a month ago to my old project. I'm from Bayview Projects, Bayview sure. Houses. And I know what I've come from, and I know how much I really work on not ever being in that position. Mm-hmm. The crazy thing is I've gone to India, and when I was in India, I realized I was never poor in mm-hmm. my entire life. I am beyond blessed. And for anybody that has been to India to see 1.2 million people and how hard it is to live. We got it good in America. When I had to go to the bathroom, I got up and went to the bathroom and I put the light on and I washed my hands and I took a shower when I wanted to. And I went in the refrigerator where it was cool and got food. And I washed my clothes in a washing machine. And I took an elevator downstairs mm-hmm. and I got in my mother's car. We were not poor whatsoever. So wow. I'm all the time grateful. And gratitude and humbled is a saying, Marcus. They say there's two kind of people in the world: those who are humble and those who soon will be.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. But tell me a little bit about Brooklyn. You know, at that era, because you're coming up at the same time as hip hop is really like emerging, yeah. right? Or yeah. at that point, there's probably just like, you know, park parties were like DJ Hollywood or whatever, right? So you're growing up around that era. And then you're also an incredible athlete. And at that point, NBA was big, but there was no such thing as playing NBA and be done for life, for example. So there's different yeah. goals, different eras, different times. How was it?
It was amazing. Hip hop was born when I was 9 years old. Mm-hmm. By the time I was 12, I was rhyming in ciphers.
Yes.
By the time I was 15, I was in a group with DJ Tommy Allen, who used to be on WBLS.
Of course.
God rest his soul. And I was part, you know, it was the John Sally and the Mass Production crew. And then at 18, in 1982, I'm going to Atlanta, Georgia to go play at Georgia Tech. Yeah. And, you know, crack had just started. The race riots, just to give you an example, 1978, 79, I think it was, Roots comes on television. And after Roots premieres, there's riots all over America because Black people finally was shown in weeks where we had to come from to the point we were at.
Wow.
And a whole different Black pride kicked in. And then, you know, it's like you mentioned hip hop, and hip hop was a major part of my life. Remember, this is coming off of Disco Sucks and coming off of R&B stations wanting to get their records played. I tell people this all the time, how short time is. Michael Jackson really was the first Black person on MTV. Mm-hmm. Then Run DMC, only way to get on is if they come on with Aerosmith and Walk This Way. Mm-hmm. Fighting to get Grammys to be heard, seen, and considered to be a real situation. And then, you know, the NBA at that time was considered by, I read one time, they said it was too Black and too drug infested.
Wow.
So, and Magic and Bird saved the NBA. And then in 1984, the Messiah is born in the NBA, Michael Jordan, and David Stern takes over. And we go from being a game that people play to an international powerhouse. And just moves. And I'm in that era, Dr. J's Last Days, Moses Malone.
Moses Malone, yes.
Akeem Olajuwon, Kareem was still playing, Magic Bird,
yes.
Terry Cummins, Buck Williams, and I'm this skinny kid, you know, Dominique Wilkins. I can go on and on and on when it was not a lot of money. My first contract year was $230,000, which is a lot of money.
Yes.
Let's not take that out of context. It's a lot of money, but my overall contract was $2.2 million for 5 years. And now this guy's getting signing bonuses for $25 million.
Yeah.
So, and did the same thing I was doing, you know, running, jumping, and putting the ball in the basket. It was the start of it. I remember John Konkak, they called him John Contract. Got the big, you know, $3 million contract being a backup center in Atlanta, to now guys are getting, you know, bigger money deals. So it changed the look of it when we started realizing we had, I think, three or four European players in the league. Now the league has, I think, 30 to 40, maybe. I'm seeing it became an internet. We got NBA Africa. That people are not hearing about, you know.
Of course.
And it literally changes Dream Team 1, 1992.
Yeah.
It changes it all.
But I want to back up a little bit. I want to back up a little bit because you're going way too fast because there's so many things in these lessons, right? Yeah. So this is what I want to know, right? Because you come into the league and there's like big boys there. Like there's Moses Malone. There are like dirty, filthy, strong people trying to whack you. You know, they're athletes, but they're not as smooth as today. Well, they're just different, right? So as a young kid coming in, were you scared? Were you intimidated? Was the Brooklyn you like, okay, I got this. How did you feel coming in as a rookie?
I learned very quickly. Mm. I'll give you an example. So I'm in training camp and I just stopped being a runner. I was a runner for so many years, but as my legs changed, and you know, you're putting so much on your body when you're, you know, running and jumping. But I was a runner, so I come into camp in shape. Back in the day, players used to come into camp to get in shape and to play in shape. It's a different thing. Sid Green is now on the team, and Rick Mahorn is now lost like 250 pounds, and they get into like a scuffle. And I said, hey, man, we're one team, man. We don't need to fight. And Sid punches me in the jaw and Rick kicks me in the leg and I hit the ground. They were like, rookie, don't ever get between two grown men. And I'm looking around like at the coach and he's sitting, Chuck Daly, looking at me with his arms crossed. I said, oh, sweat. I wind up getting a mouthpiece for my upper and my lower. So I didn't say another word ever. If you wanted to hear me with whoom, 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 you wasn't talking. And then, you know, they got a guy named Marcus Johnson who y'all have to look him up. You know, I'm playing defense and I put my hand on his waist and he knocked my wrist off. And so, you know, I put it back on and then he clamped down with his elbow and said, if you keep that hand on me, I'm like, break it and take it with me. I was like, is anybody hearing this? So, yeah, but I played in the streets of Brooklyn, man. I'm Dipmas All-Star, Gauchos. I'm up in Harlem. I'm playing in every park except the Rucker and the Cage.
Whoa, stop. Because Rucker is legendary, right?
Yeah, so why didn't you play? I knew better.
You knew better.
I'm a shot blocker, dunker, defensive player. And, you know, I ain't had nobody to watch my bag once I took it off and I put it down. I'm from Brooklyn. We don't really go there. But when I started playing Gauchos, it was up in the Bronx, you know, it was different. So I always played team and I've gone to the Rucker to watch.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I played in Breboy in Brooklyn, and that's equivalent to Rucker. So just playing against everybody I can possibly play against is one thing, and playing our style of basketball, which is grab it off the rim and go. Whoever grabs it off the rim can dribble, and everything has to have some mustard on it. So I was able to use my quickness on these dudes, realizing I can get to the basket, and I had at that time I jumped pretty high. And I'm long. So I used all of my attributes. But I got a lot of knots. I got a knot on the back of my head. I'm feeling it right now from Artis Gilmore. Artis Gilmore elbowed me behind the head in February before the All-Star break. And I had a concussion. And they didn't have a tent back then.
Yeah.
They were like, can you shoot your foul shots? Like, come on, dog. The game is going. And it was one of the biggest humans I've ever seen. And my father was a big human. But it was literally catching the ball and being quick. Wow. And first one off the ground and the ball above your head. See, I got this Dr. J right here.
Yep.
That's how you got up and you put it in the basket and you came down. It was none of that chairing and showing your muscles. No. It was definitely a man's game. You come in the lane, you get in the elbow.
I also feel like you've been around some incredible individuals because I want to bring it back to my industry. Like, I'm here. Being a cook was not something was thought about in front of the camera. So I'm very clear on that. I'm really here on two parallels. First of all, what the generation before me on Black Chefs really did, right? Aunties, grandmothers, the Leah Chase, the Sylvias of the world, you know, really set this up for us. And then you have the other parallel of the Julia Shaus, the Jacques Pepin, and the Emeril Lagasse, right? And that's the whole reason why someone like me, both being Black but also being an immigrant, can be have a TV show and be here, right? So for me, I'm very sort of like, you got to realize sort of who set it up and you got to pay homage. You guys are really the ones that set up, because this is pre-Dream Team 92 in Barcelona. Yeah. That changes NBA forever. Right?
Yes.
And you're in that era and you played with some of the most, forget like, okay, of course you played against Larry and Magic and so on. But the two people that are also super interested for me is you played with Dennis and you played with Isaiah, right? Which is for me, like two of the biggest sort of like mega stars in NBA all time, right?
All time. You say Dennis Rodman, everyone knows who he is.
Everyone, but it was very different Dennis Rodman then, right? Than what it was with the Bulls, right?
Advanced. He advanced when he got to the Bulls.
What was it like just to be around that Dennis and Isaiah? Like, just give me like, what do we not know about Dennis, for example? Is there something we know about all the stuff, obviously leaving in the middle of the NBA Finals and all that, but like, what don't we know about Dennis?
We don't know that he taught himself how to play the drums. We don't know that he was forward thinking on fashion.
Yes.
I'm not just talking about the wedding dress.
Yeah.
I'm talking about ripped jeans and mm-hmm. and Doc Martens.
Yeah.
I'm talking about dyeing his hair. Now True. You can't see any place, soccer, football.
Yeah.
The movements he made. And then
little
he backed it up.
A little punk, yeah, you know?
A lot of punk, a lot of Afro punk, no question. Isaiah, people don't realize he's 6'1". Mm-hmm. And everybody else they're talking about are the greatest, above 6'6". Mm-hmm. And Isaiah was doing things. His first game in the NBA, he got 31 points.
What?
Like this, and I wasn't there, but this is that Zeke. And was no joke. And I was raised watching Tiny Archibald.
Yeah.
Tiny Archibald in Pearl, Washington was my constituent. So to watch these guys do it and everybody talk about how great, I literally watched Isaiah Thomas take over games, play on one ankle, punch the biggest guy on the court. Like this is a fierce, fierce competitor. One of the greatest competitors I've ever seen.
I just saw Isaiah, he's now in the champagne business and we were talking wine and, I always told him that I was always rooting for Isaiah. That was always my dude because as a small kid, you look up, Isaiah becomes the one you're rooting for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he he's 6 months, so he's not that small, but basketball wise, he's small. So you just root for him. And we were actually talking about hoops dreams and all of that stuff. And it was great to talk to him. But your era is so interesting because there's also Shaq and Michael, right, which like changes basketball for forever. But you also catch Kobe.
Black Mamba.
What was Kobe like?
This is not bragging. I was the first professional player to have a camcorder and film the behind the scenes, our POV.
Yes.
In 1988.
Yes, I believe you. Yes.
Right. And then when cameras had become digital, before they become digital, I was taking film and I would shoot moments. And when it became digital, I got pictures of the behind the scenes of the Lakers 2000s.
Wow.
Kobe's only 20, so he doesn't come into the nightclubs, but we would go to TGI Fridays. We would watch old video films. I would be with him in the studio.
Dope.
When he was going through this crazy trial, every other night I would, be in a text conversation or a conversation about everything other. Mm-hmm. I really admired the kid. It was amazing. He said to me, I said, so the way they got this put up, because Harold Miner was the rookie, one of the rookies when I was on Miami, and he was Baby Jordan. I said, what are you, the next Michael Jordan, Kobe? He goes, no, I'm the first Kobe Bryant.
Yep. Yeah.
Flat face.
Yeah.
And I was like, I said, so what do you want to be in this league? He said, oh, I'm going to be the greatest player to ever play in the NBA. Wow. That's what I want to be.
That's my
mission. He was 20.
Yeah.
He was 20. I tell people that all the time because when you hear a kid say something, and he was a kid, you go, oh, okay, man. There's a lot of guys you got to be better than.
Good luck.
He knew him. So he was an amazing human. And I asked him, I said, man, he was talking about getting married young and that was his girl. And I said, why would you want to get married young and do all that? He said, man, I do everything young. I do it quick. I got an MBA young. I live my life fast and to the moment. So you think about it, in his 40s, he's no longer with us. But all the things he accomplished in those 40, 41 years is amazing. And definitely a time traveler that came in and he'll be back somehow.
So I remember when he shot the 4 air balls and I was like, he's the youngest guy, takes the ball, does this. Like, this is unbelievable. And I was like, I was worried about him in the locker room. I mean, he goes in with vets and they're out. And I'm like, what's going to happen to him? I was like mentally worried about him. I was like, what's going to happen? And he was just like, next year's back, better than ever.
This is the craziest thing. To have the guts to take those shots.
Yeah.
And I tell people, when you take shots, they either go in or they don't. There's no It almost went in. It maybe went in. It half went in. It either goes in or it doesn't. But guess what happened? After those three air balls, you've never seen it again. You've only seen it go in. You've only seen him end games. Those three shots were his training his body on. Next time you shoot it, add a little bit more. Yeah. And he perfected that.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I want to ask one more thing about, so I'm sure you pretty much knew where you were when Magic came out and talked to him, told the world when he had HIV. And then you think about today where we are with HIV, how far the world has come in that conversation. And obviously Magic telling us his story about it, his journey was kind of like the journey for the world really to like, wow, this is not just something in a subculture. This is everywhere now. So you're a young cat at that time, you're living a very fast life. What was actually the conversation in the locker room? And how did you reach out to Magic as your boy and as your friend? And, you know, bring us back to that space and time.
I bring you to the point where, okay, so this is a crazy story. My life is Forrest Gump. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
We're in practice and I don't have my goggles on. Somebody scratches my eye. So I go over to Mike Gabinow, trainer, and I go, yo, man, give me his eye drop. And he goes, before Mike would have walked up, looked in my eye, pulled it out, put a new eye in, go ahead back in there, spit on it. He was like, hey, you got to go to Pellucci, which was our team doctor. And I'm going, nah, man, just, I don't know. He goes, no, you got to go to Pellucci. And I said, well, practice. He said, don't worry, Chuck knows you got to go to Pellucci. So I get my stuff. No one's saying anything to him. Oh, all right. I'm out. No one's saying anything. I get in the car. I go to Pellucci. And I get there. And he goes, let me see. And he goes, okay, I'll give you some eye drops. He goes, sit down, Sal. I go, yeah. He goes, you're the player rep on this team. Yeah. He goes, I got to ask you a question. So if you find out about a player and there's a disease, And I know you got player, you know, doctor privileges, but if I'm the team doctor, I have to tell the team, correct?
What's going on?
I'm like, yeah, I guess so. What's the deal? He goes, well, you know, your test came back the other day. I said, hey, what are you talking about? He goes, no, you're fine. You're fine. But Magic Johnson is going to announce that he's HIV positive and retire today.
Wow.
And I said, what? And I turn his phone around and I dial Buck. That's what we call him.
Yeah.
Phone's disconnected. So then I dial Lauren. Phone's disconnected. I call Angie Wallace. She don't know how to get in touch with her. I finally get a number. And I'm like, yo, what's up? He goes, I'm all right, man. All things is cool. But yeah, just, you know, it's a situation. Yeah, I'm gonna do that today. Then I get home and I put the tape in because I'm recording. I recorded him retiring. And I'm blown away. I was just with him that summer. This is the summer after they played the Bulls and they lost. And we were in Hawaii doing Magic summer 3-on-3 basketball.
Sure.
And I mean, it was, this is Magic. This is the crazy thing. Everybody knew he was going to beat it. It's just a crazy, well, wow. I did. Wow. I never imagined Magic not being here. Mm. And Kanye put it best, like, everybody can make it if Magic made it. Like,
yeah.
And he changed the atmosphere to look at it to the point where they use HIV virus to help cancer patients now. Wow. They're talking about, they finally have a vaccine. They are talking about pills they have to keep it out of your system. They are talking about it being a virus or a parasite. Like, literally, what was that? 1991 mm-hmm. in October 1991. And we're at a point now where Magic's a billionaire and vacation in Sardinia on a $1 million yacht. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was crazy. Comedians had crazy jokes about it, but Magic was like, nothing stops me.
Wow.
And in the locker room, guys are not knowing what they're saying, and they're homophobic and they're uneducated and they're unaware, because the world was unaware, uneducated and homophobic. And
yeah, at that time, you can't look at it from the lens of what we know today. You got to look at it from the lens of 30 years ago. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's very different.
Right. People take airplane flights when they want to go places now. They don't, they don't say, hey, I see you in 8 years because I'm getting on a train. Everything has moved. And Magic stopped the ignorance. Mm-hmm. Magic sacrificed himself. He didn't do it on purpose. Okay, let me get that. But to not step up and face on, we don't know that you can go face on with a disease. Mm-hmm. And Magic changed the whole mentality. So, you know, I felt really bad for him at that point. But like he said, don't feel bad for me. I'm about to beat this. And so far he has. So it was a crazy feeling. And the NBA made us. There's two different things you have to go to after practice or you get fined. One is the drugs and an addiction little conversation.
Yeah.
And the other one is the AIDS and sex wellness thing.
Yeah.
And if you're not there, you get fined $5,000. The lead then wants to know different things. And they started educating us. The dumb, crazy thoughts about it stopped. When I got to Miami, they had this beautiful lady come in and she was going to talk to us. And she had a dress on and she was all dudes are like trying to sit up front being like, yeah, I'm pulling this one.
Yeah.
And she tells us and she's having the sex story and the guys are not paying attention. And they just looking at her, giving her eyes.
Yeah.
And then she's handing out things. And she goes, oh, I left this part out, fellas. I have been HIV positive for 5 years. And thank you for listening to me. Stops everything.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa. And she is still living it and still pushing it. So it changed how I do, made it at least think first. Before it was no thinking. It was like, I'm the greatest in the world and you should know me. So it brought awareness to everybody.
So I mean, that, thank you for sharing that, because that was something I always wanted to ask, because I came up in that era and I remember where I was, and it was like you completely torn and so much. Wow. Well, you've lived so, your life is so full and rich.
Blessed.
But you've also been early, and athletes come in. Some athletes now understand what food can do to your body and how food can actually prolong the career. You think about maybe one of the major athletes that did it early was Jerry Rice, for example. Kobe ate well. There's a couple of athletes that you think about, but you became vegetarian in the early 90s. What drove that decision? Why did you even go there? What made you think about this?
At 27, I had the second highest cholesterol on the team, and I had guys on the team that was in their late 30s.
Yeah.
They told me I was going to have to take a pill, and that pill also may work against my reproductive organ.
Yeah.
And at 27, you don't want to hear that.
No.
And I said, it has to be another way. And I met this lady named Dr. Jewel Pookrum, and she told me I was full of, I'm not going to curse on your air, some horrible intestinal toxins. I was full of it.
Yeah.
So I got my first, I got my first colonic, and then I went macrobiotic. And then for about 14 years, I was a lying vegetarian. And then I decided at the age of 40 not to lie, period, especially to myself. And I knew that if I was to continue to eat death, that was going to be my future. Wow. So I would not eat things that caused parasites, that had parasites. I wouldn't eat things that had a breath. That had a mother and a father. That's not true. I wouldn't eat things that were living that can also make more children.
Yeah. Gotcha.
The way I looked at it is eating an animal would be like, to me, equivalent to eating a human. Yeah. And people were like, what are you talking about? They're sentient beings. So I thought it was a crazy way of going. And I realized that most athletes, when they retire, look like they've eaten their young. And they get more and more dis-ease. And I found out, Marcus, this is a trip, that most athletes weren't living past the age of 60.
Wow.
And in 2016, 11 former NBA players had died from the same disease, which is congestive heart failure, which is number one in America. And that can be avoided as much as possible by not putting bad oils that become rancid in your body and don't digest. And the food that goes in should give you fuel. We are, in the way people should look at their whole life, but especially an athlete, is like a thoroughbred or like a Formula One car. You're not going to put regular leaded gas in a Formula One car. You're going to put high octane gas, and their gas is put in so it can propel the car, not to hinder it. So I look at myself and my avatar as, how do I want it to be? Do I want it to use it and be fruitful, or do I want to become a casket for a sentinel soul? And I decided not to make my body a casket. And yeah, your food is either healing you or harming you. You get to choose.
Yep. So I get that. And you obviously evolved from 1991, but traveling, being on a team, going to different cities. I know today we have internet and we have great choices of vegetarian food or vegan food across the country. But in 92, 93, and from Detroit, going to Milwaukee, going maybe San Antonio. Don't tell me there was great choices. How did you actually manage that? On the, you know, when you want to, it's a brutal schedule, right? You're probably on the bus 100 days a year or something like that.
I tell you this. You're going to love this. Find an Ethiopian restaurant.
Yes.
If you find an Ethiopian restaurant, you have found vegan food.
Yes.
That's one. Two, eat as many bananas and fruits as possible.
Got it.
I'll give you a screen, because this is crazy. You said Milwaukee. I'm a rookie. And back then during training camp, you know, it was two to a room. And they put the rookie with the veteran. Obviously, I became their run do this for the whole year. And Adrian Dantley, the teacher who taught me most of this, a lot of this, said, young fella, I'm going to buy you lunch today. And we order in room service. I said, word? Yeah. I can order what I want? He goes, go right ahead. I said, what I want? Yeah. So it's 12:30, 1 o'clock. We don't have to be over there to the Mecca until 6. I order a cheeseburger with fries and a strawberry shake. And Adrian giggles. And he goes, you good? He said, all right, give me the phone. He goes, give me a half a sandwich and a soup. And then at 4:30, bring me another half a sandwich and a soup. And I was like, that's all you're going to eat? He goes, yeah, go ahead, have what you want. So I scoff it down. I don't even know if I chewed. And, you know, it's time to take a nap because we take naps in the afternoon. I'm dead to the world with this food not digesting in this body that's not moving. Marcus, I got to play against. And guys, look this up. His name. There was two big guys, one in Milwaukee. One was named Jack Sigma.
Okay.
And one was named Randy Brewer. And I'm this high jumping fast, what you call it? AD gets over, young fella, don't forget my bag. Don't forget this. Don't forget that. And I'm like, what time is it, man? It's like, he said, it's 5, you know, 4:45. And I'm thinking, 4:45, we don't have to be there at 6. And back then, we were in nobody's. You walked across the street into the arena. And I get there, and Adrian is already stretching and on heat pads and working on his wrist and got his ankles taped and his wrist taped, and he's putting on his armor. And I'm slugging over there, throw his bag down. I'm like, whew. I put it on. I'm last, so I got to get taped. I go do a crazy little shoot around. I can't score a basket, and I'm missing dunks. And look at AD. AD said, how's that cheeseburger treating you? And I go, and then after the game, he goes, I had to let you do it so you can see.
You can do
it. But you're a machine, bro.
Yeah.
And you can't put a whole bunch of clogged things into this machine mm-hmm. and do what you do. I changed my eating right then. And it was focused. Don't eat dairy if you're going to play. Don't eat a steak. When I was in college, you know, we would have a steak at I think it was the pregame meal at 3:30 or 4:30, and string beans and make sure you drink your milk and your orange juice. And I was wondering when my game was going up and down. And after the game, I would have a pizza and can barely wake up and had acne and problems going to the bathroom sometimes.
Yeah.
And irritable. Until I learned, if you want to fly like a bird, don't eat the bird, eat like the bird.
When we look at NBA today, like, it's worldwide. You have NBA China, you have NBA Africa, it's Europe, of course. But all those lessons, you guys had to go through it, right?
Yeah.
In order to set up that someone like a young Kobe can come in with a chef or whoever came in with it first. And you're going to see things in sports is now, right? We're in this era, right? I'm a soccer guy, right? So you have Cristiano at 36 doing things that no 36-year-old ever in soccer has done. And he can probably play until he's 40. You have, majority of the soccer players in Europe right now, they have their own dietitian or chef. And up until like 10 years ago, they ate the worst food, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to see guys going into their 40s. You're still fit. You probably could have played, another 5-6 years if you wanted to?
I retired at 36 because I didn't like it anymore.
What?
That was, I know it sounds beyond, but it was funny too because Phil Jackson said, you have 15 minutes with Phil and when you finish, and I'm in the best shape five minutes. And he goes, Sal, I got no real estate for you. What you going to do now this summer? Let's smoke some weed. because if I'm not going to be on a championship team, there's no reason for me to stick around knowing. And it's just not, I don't play to lose. And then, like you said, Tom Brady, God bless his wife, Garcelle, because she got him doing yoga and eating well and focus on family and focus on your skill and giving him an open mind. You know, he's playing better than everybody else, like you said. Cristiano, I tell you, my mother stayed alive till she was 96.
Wow.
I don't tell people what to do in their life. I just tell them what I do in my life. And I tell them how it works for me and how you could, you know, like, don't talk about, man, don't use straws because they kill the tortoise and the sea fish while you're in the seafood place eating the seafood. You know what? You want to save the fish, stop eating.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm not going to be hypocritical about that. I'm not going to move in that area. And talking about people that come before you, I mentioned Adrian Dantley. They would have to look him up. Huge impact on my life. Wow, Joe Dumars, nice, huge impact on my life. Joe Dumars used to read these huge books. They were big and thick like that. And he used to have to carry them. And he would be reading. The next thing you know, you see Joe and he'd be at the end of the book. And I was a reader, but I wasn't avid like that. And I became an avid reader.
Yeah.
And I realized that's how you enhance everything you do. It's a focus, teaches you how to focus. So a lot of people before you, there was a great chef out of my project named Patrick Clark.
Yeah, of course.
So when you talk of when I knew that chefs can be superstars, because Patrick was a superstar in New York City, I was like, wow, he's a chef. I knew that my mother is a kosher caterer. Wow. So I knew the difference between being a cook and a chef.
Wow.
I understood what it meant, the schools you had to go through and what you had to get to that point to be called chef. Yes, chef.
Wow.
So I really appreciated it and saw that. I got a new network coming out in February called Spark.
Oh, nice.
It's what is it? Subscription-based.
Oh, nice.
Subscription-based. And we have a complete cooking section in this cooking base. And not an argument with my team, with my partners, but I said, if you're going to have chefs here and there's five chefs that cook this way, you're going to have five vegan chefs.
Yes.
And you know, and I got to tell you this, Marcus, because you talk about being a basketball fan.
Mm.
Bro, you had no idea on how I was such a fan of yours. You were in a book called The Last Supper, and it was shot by my friend Melanie Dumais.
Yes,
because photography is my pod. Yeah, Melanie is my role. And my road dog. And I saw your picture and I was like, she was like, you got to meet this dude. He's the baddest. And you know, you had a fish and I was like, I didn't care. You know what I'm saying? I got to meet this brother.
Yeah.
So I was so happy to meet you. Like, you didn't even know. Like, I went looking for you. I used the Ethiopian girl as an excuse to, cause she wanted to take a picture with you. Now get out of the way, Marcus, let's talk. So I understand and I respect that too, man. I have guys that I would see, older guys, and then Oscar Robertson came to me and said, I appreciate you.
Yes.
And I was blown away that Oscar was even talking to me. I was like, thanks. And he was like, you never let them talk about great players and don't mention the guys who come before. And I appreciate you doing that.
Rest in peace. So Patrick Clark was my mentor, right?
And yeah.
When he called me, he never asked. He said, Marcus, get over here. I need you. We're going to D.C. We're cooking for Clinton. We're cooking for the president. be over here. And you could be anywhere. And you just have to drop and go, right? And everything was – and you just don't question Patrick. There was nothing to question, right?
No.
And I just loved his drive. And for a young Black chef to do French food in New York City, just as good as anyone else, you really showed it that I could do it, right?
Yeah.
And there was, you know, and when he passed, a friend of ours, Charlie Trotter, put a big charity event together at Windows of the World where all the chefs came out, Nobu, Charlie Trotter, Thomas Keller, everybody came out and we raised money for his kids to go to college. And his son, Preston, started to work for us, or he started to work for me. And I'm just a couple of years older than Preston. And I always... like just having the being 24, having the responsibility to coach a 19-year-old, right? But I knew
this was
my responsibility. And then after that, I sent it to John George. And now Preston is doing his own thing and, you know, don't need me anymore. But, you know, we're always in contact. But when you say Patrick, it's exactly that mentorship. Because I do think you guys in the NBA, there is a mentorship and it's passed on. It's like a unspoken word, like you, the rookie, right. You do not talk to Cat.
No.
And as the leader, you kind of take care of the young guy, however that works, right?
Right.
So there's similarities in cooking too, you know?
Oh, that I tell people that all the time. We would do Seder dinners in Long Island, and I'm the little serving guy. Mm-hmm. But the crazy thing, my mother was also the maid.
Yeah.
So, and she can cook that way. And I got to, you know, stay in the quarters, service quarters, which to me was like, I got a bathroom in my room. I got posters on the wall. Yeah. And I got my own bed. My brother ain't making noise over there. And we wake up and they're off to Temple and we're cleaning. Yeah. And she goes, they're not going to be back until this afternoon. You can go swimming. So I'm swimming in the mansions in Long Island.
In your pool.
And yeah, this is my pool. This is my house. Ain't nobody here but me. You know that. And to anybody else, they were like, oh, but it was such a learning experience on what I wanted and where I wanted to be and how. And give you an example. Our Roca is from my project, Baby Houses.
Yes.
Patrick Clark is from my neighborhood. Great. So just like to get to somebody say, man, this is all we have, is a bad idea and a bad person to listen to. That person doesn't have drives. So you're not, you're not, if you're around people who don't have drives.
Yeah.
You know, I had, like I said, like you said, chef, I know what it takes, what a sous chef is doing.
Yeah.
I know what it's taken when make sure this is cooked at this temperature. Mm. I know it has to look the same and perfect when they all come out. That is knowing what you have to do, doing what you're paid to do, and doing it at the best you can possibly do it. That makes you a professional.
And then now you're also thinking about, I know you want to go back to Africa. You want to go back to the motherland. Yeah. I know you're passionate about that. You also started, you obviously were early in, way early probably, in the weed business, right?
Yeah.
So tell us, you know, because it is obviously a paradox that so many young brothers were locked up in the 80s and 90s, and now it's becoming multi-billion dollar business. And we might not be there, right, to be part of those businesses. But you say, no, we're going to be there. So how did you start the business? Because you're an entrepreneur. How did you connect the dots? Like, tell us a little bit about that.
I got in the cannabis business right after my boy got locked up for a 25 years. He just got out 2 weeks ago, bro. 17 years in the clink. He got like 8 years off his sentence. 9 years offset, something like that. My boy Romy is out now. And my daughter and I, I said, man, this college is costing $53,000. That's before I give you all the money.
Yeah.
And she was like, you want to invest in my future? I said, I am. I'm going to college. And she goes, my future's cannabis.
Wow.
And so my daughter, Tyler, is one of the youngest Black female entrepreneurs in the business, and we have a show hopefully that's being looked at by Netflix, father-daughter business. It's a great way of putting it, but she definitely is the CEO. She's well-versed,
amazing,
great on television, and this is going to be a show to destigmatize cannabis. Also, Isaiah Thomas saw me getting into the CBD cannabis world. And he brought me on as an advisor on One World Farmer, which makes us the largest cannabis and hemp growers in the world with 1.9 hectares in Colombia. So it's being in the right place, dealing with Ruben McDaniels out of New York in the OCM, which is the Office of Cannabis Management. And I sent him a text the other day showing that $1 billion of cannabis was sold in the state of Illinois and not one Black dispensary.
Wow. Wow.
And one thing Ruben said is that won't be New York. And we have I think one or two Black dispensary owners that they brag about throughout this whole business. I'm sure there's more now, but there's one female they constantly talk about. And so our brand Deuces 22, we plan on being across the country in as many places as possible, but we also are part of the social equity brand in New York City and right here in Los Angeles called Green Haven, behind Green Haven and Verte Think Tank. We are literally one of, I think, 34 brands out of Los Angeles that are under the social equity. So anybody listening, if you're in New York City and you've been affected by the war on drugs, meaning you had to do some time for a little bit of weed, You are now eligible to be an owner of one of these licenses, growing dispensary, operate, growth dispensary, operating, delivery, lounge. You should just be flooding your name in there to get this license. And then once you get the license, then we'll talk about driving from that point on. Wow. But it's moving in the future. So now, like I said, my network that I'm doing with my partners called Spark, which will start in February, we have a complete crypto channel and station because I'm doing a new show on being new in the crypto world. The deal is, yes, the pioneers get the arrows, but the trailblazers make the trails.
Yes.
And it's for, like you said, for those who to follow. Like in the NBA, I don't get mad that these guys are making that money, but Charles Barkley said it best. If you got a contract for $85 million, it's not because you're good. It's because somebody before you pushed for you to get that contract for $86 million.
Yeah.
So it's being a trailblazer, being first, and wanting to be in that position. That's that winning mentality I have.
Yeah, it's Brooklyn, the grit.
Right. I don't want to just play.
Think about it. Out of that housing project came Al Roker, that has done it better and longer than anybody, right?
Like,
think about his amazing family life, but also career. Patrick, that was my hero, of course, is in the chef community. And you, just the three of you going like in school, like this all about competitiveness, but I'm sure you drove each other crazy. And there's probably another 5-10 cats that we don't know about. There was, you know, there was in there. And that it's something about that that I think still to this day that you follow, that you probably install in your daughter and your family, like to become, right? If you're going to do it, make sure it matters. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you're going to do it, if you're going to beat it, this is the only life you have. It will be nothing left in the tank when it's over at all. I'm happy for it.
Appreciate you so much. Thank you so much. And, if you know, stay being positive for us because we need it out there, especially in time.
Stay alive. And everybody out there, do or do not. There is no try. Yoda said that.
Peace.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.